Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And let's talk about healing. Don't we need some? Everybody needs some healing. We want to know more about it, too. How can we heal better? How can we heal each other better, our planet? And we want to do a better job. So in order to do that, there's a wonderful new book that I've read that really helps us understand the process to get into it, and it's not easy. Healing takes a lot of dedication and mindfulness even. So we're going to talk about that with the author of a book called The Healing of Jordan Young, A 21st Century Spiritual Guide to Health and Healing. And the author is Tobin Blake. Tobin, welcome to Energy Stew.
Good morning, Peter.
I'm so glad that we could talk, because your book is really important. And Jordan Young is a young man who's still alive, thankfully, to healing.
Yeah.
And to your efforts, as well as many others, and his own. And your book is the process of what it takes to heal him, ourselves, and the reality of life and why we need healing in the first place.
Indeed. And, you know, I have to admit that when I began this journey years ago, I had gotten to the point in my own journey of awakening where I didn't really consider it that important to focus on healing the body. You know, I had begun to see my body as just an extension of my spirit, as a learning tool to communicate and to interact with the world. This whole thing was more or less laid out before me, and I was forced to deal with it because Jordan was a part of my life when he got sick. He was dating my daughter. He was 18, and he desperately needed the help.
He needed you, too, because his family couldn't support him the way that you could.
Yeah, and, you know, there were some things going on there. And a lot of times what you find is that when a person's physically ill, there's going to be some correlating factors in their emotional being, in their, you know, psyche, and certainly in their relationships.
Sure. And that's what the need for healing is about. And you talk about it in the book that actually this is a very difficult planet that we've come to. And we're in constant need of healing in this life, and as is all of our civilization.
Yeah.
And so we've chosen a path of suffering, as Buddha said, and that we need to understand the process that we're in and why we are in it. What is it that we can rise to, and how does it work? And early in the book, you quote an author who wrote The Molecules of Emotion, and that our mind becomes our body.
Yeah, that's an incredible quote, and you know, I'll share it right now. I actually have it right here, and she's a real hardcore scientist. She had actually 250-odd published scientific articles, and she was the co-discoverer of the endorphin system. Her name was Dr. Candace Pert, and she said, "Mind doesn't dominate body, it becomes body. Body and mind are one. I see the process of communication we have demonstrated, the flow of information throughout the whole organism, as evidence that the body is the actual outward manifestation in physical space of the mind."
Right. And so as we struggle in life, our bodies reflect that struggle.
Most definitely.
Right. And there's actually a system from France that I've studied called Total Biology that really outlines how each system of the body reflects particular mental weaknesses, emotional weaknesses that we have, mm-hmm. that become diseases and become needing treatment. And so what happens is that as we all have glitches in our system of mental, let's say mental and emotional glitches due to our environment, our conditioning, even our own mechanics of our personalities, we can't hold wholeness within ourselves, and where wholeness breaks down is where the body breaks down.
Indeed. There's definitely all kinds of correlations we see between the mental body, what I call, you know, the heart and head, and the physical body. So and if you take Candace, Dr. Peart's quote literally, what she's talking about is that even science cannot detect the difference between mind and body.
Right. And I've had shows on consciousness, and science can't detect consciousness.
Right, right. So what this means, though, in practical terms, is when we find ourselves physically ill, and we all have that potential, so it's nothing to be ashamed of, nothing to be embarrassed about. Let's get that out there. But what it means is that there must be some mental reflection, psychical reflection. And also, if we can then correct that, discover what the roots are to the disease in our head and our heart, and consciously pull that out, bring it into our awareness, and let it go, let it be healed, in other words, the physical part will somehow, some way, fix itself. There may be medical interventions involved, or it may just be a spontaneous healing, but somehow, some way, it'll repair itself. The right medication will be found, the right treatment will be found, the right healer will come into the patient's life at just the right moment.
Right, and that's the point in your book, and it's really an amazing book because Jordan Young was on his deathbed.
He was.
And nobody, and there didn't seem to be any hope. His body had failed through a lot of medical treatments, and it looked like there was nothing left. And miracles started happening that brought him back, and at least
it was
created
yeah.
more opportunities for
right.
other healings to take place for him.
Right, that's exactly it. It was quite a stunning journey. And, you know, I was with Jordan the moment when the doctors were in there, and just a doctor, a nurse, and a social worker were in our room there. And he was in ICU in Portland, Oregon, at OHSU, one of the most major and well-respected research and medical facilities in Oregon. And, you know, they basically told him, they gave him the talk with a capital T, you know, we don't really see, you know, any hope here, any possibility, so you have to be prepared for the worst. And I was there with Jordan at that moment, and I was also there when just moments later I saw reflected in his eyes his decision to live regardless of what was being told to him. And that was what really sparked the journey, which, you know, it's too incredible to really describe in brief, but it's laid out in the book, as you probably recall.
Yes, and not only that, but it was unique. It's unique for each person to make those decisions
right.
About holding hope for themselves, believing that they're not going to die and that they're ready for the opportunity to heal, whereas your mother wasn't, right?
Right, right. So I had the opposite experience with my mother, and I was with her in the moment where I saw her decision to choose to leave this world.
Right. And, I'm a doctor explaining that there was no hope and that it's easier to die.
Right, right.
And
so
she agreed. She said,
yeah,
okay,
and,
I'm out of here.
And, you know, that's okay, too. I've come to peace with that.
Sure.
And my relationship with her has changed. But in this world, you know, certainly death and leaving the world is as natural as is birth. They're both a natural process here. And in the Western world, we tend to shy away from that. So certainly when I said in the book, with love, all things can be healed, you know, there is a time when the soul has learned as much as it can from its current incarnation here. And it is time, perhaps, to migrate and move to another level of learning.
I'm in the middle of an experience now that I just got into last night, actually, connecting with a family, a mother whose teenage son this last summer, dove into water that was too shallow and broke his neck and is now paralyzed from the neck down, mm-hmm. and how devastating that is. But what was really promising is that her son really believes that it's an opportunity for him to have this experience. He's amazingly powerful for him.
That's a remarkable position to take for a youth.
Right. And I agree with the mother that actually there is hope for his recovery. And he is in the best medical care, and thousands of people are praying for him at the same time. So we don't know what will happen, but my sense is that he's going to be very successful in his healing, and we should be optimistic about it.
And, fascinating story. Thank you for sharing that. But
sure.
You know, that's it goes to show that regardless of what's going on in our lives, we can see it in different ways. And we can see it as a tragedy, which is quite common, or we can see it as an opportunity. And if we turn that around, it makes all the difference in the world. And it also can make a tremendous difference on whether or not we do heal and recover, or use our circumstances at least for a far greater good than our little personal experience.
Right. And we don't have to not be disappointed about our struggles in life, because it's hard work.
Right. Well, that's what we're here to do, is work and learn. You know, right. I mean, that's what Earth is. It's I call it Earth School.
Yes, I really like that. You know, your book has so many opportunities because you really approach healing on every level, including the medical, how big a struggle it was to try to find the right treatments for him at the right moments.
Right.
And were just as dedicated to supporting the doctors, helping to treat him, as you were supporting his spiritual needs.
Well, certainly. And, a lot of people go one way or another. Either you're devoted to Western medicine and medications and all the treatments that go along with that, or you're into alternative therapies and these sorts of things. And I say, why not use them both? Western science is very good at treating acute symptoms. So if you have cancer or if you're in a terrible accident, I say go to the hospital, go see your doctor, absolutely 100%, and they can deal with the immediate crisis of that. But in the long run, if you want to cure, with a capital C, like completely cure a disease, you really have to dig a lot deeper than just dealing with the physical part of the illness, because
right.
there is a mental, emotional reflection there somewhere. And if you don't pull out those roots and get rid of those roots, that disease, even if the symptoms are temporarily cured, is very likely to return or to change into a different illness or a dilemma. We can even see diseases, physical diseases, turning into psychological or behavioral diseases, personality disorders, mm-hmm. problems with relationships, and it just goes back and forth endlessly until the roots are taken care of. And we are healed on the deepest level.
So maybe what it is, when we pray for healing for somebody, for divine, let's call it for divine intervention,
right.
and we pray for that, and it can be in any form that might have to do with a medical breakthrough in technology.
Yeah.
Or just somebody makes a suggestion about some change in some procedure that's happening that wouldn't have been made if you hadn't prayed for divine intervention.
Right. I mean, there are all kinds of ways the healing can come about, and really the form that it comes to you in doesn't matter at all.
Right.
Not everybody's prepared mentally to accept a spontaneous healing. Some people are, and that certainly is possible, but most
right.
people are probably going to be getting some sort of medical treatments, medicines and surgeries and the like, in order to bring their healing about. But once again, if
right.
the mental, psychological, spiritual portions of that disease are not dealt with, that's just going to be a temporary thing. And what's the point?
Well, in your book, you actually have a foreword by Dr. Bernie Siegel, who's been on my show a couple times and will be on again in the near future. And he's a medical doctor, and he talks about how miracles happen just because of the love of our pets.
Yeah,
the love
absolutely.
Of our, you know, different. He sees, and in his books, he talks about where the process is flowing or where it's not, and how to make it flow better. And it might be just because your dog loves you, or you know, or your mother shows up and brings everybody together in a way that never happened before. There's so many different things that shift our consciousness to a wholeness that we never experienced before, and that wholeness then is reflected in our body saying, oh, we better get whole again, so let's get rid of this disease.
right, however that happens. And yeah, you know, love is the greatest medicine. The theme of the book is, with love, all things can be healed. And that truly has become my mantra, you know, if you will, in life. And it doesn't matter how that love is expressed with an animal, you know. And a lot of cancer centers are encouraging people to commune with their pets now because of that. And some even allow dogs into the patient's room because of that effect that we've noticed. And it can be through human to human, or, you know, the highest love is to go into states where you're reconnecting with Source, with the direct love of the divine. And that is a powerful, powerful healing prescription.
Right. And as you know, I do healing sessions. I've been offering free healing sessions for groups, webinars, where that is introduced, that opportunity is introduced to people to really connect at the highest levels of Source.
There's no greater service.
Right. And so really what it takes for healing is, let's call it, you know, that willingness to rediscover our wholeness with the divine and with the divine in ourselves.
That's right. We need to realign with that, because there's always some disconnect there. And you could say that is our ultimate learning lesson here in Earth School, is learning to reconnect in full consciousness with the source from which we all derived, from which all of life throughout the cosmos, all of the whirling planets and stars and, you know, all of it, and all the civilizations, our own, and anything else that happens to be out there. So that's a pretty tremendous source. You got to imagine that.
Right.
But to think that we're actually one with that underneath what we experience here as separated beings in a world that seems to be, you know, that's its religion, the religion of separation. That is learning to, that is our ultimate learning objective, to perceive that wholeness and to dive headlong into it.
So what I'm seeing is really that there's a struggle between our egos, which are struggling to fix it, to fix life in ways that have to do with managing the fear and dealing with with anger and all these things that are chaotic and confused, and the ego doesn't have the answer for that. The ego just keeps on being at war.
Right. And that seems to be its purpose, to maintain the separation at all costs. You know,
right.
And if that is the problem and the core of fear, the source of fear, then obviously the remedy is never going to succeed.
Right, but we have to understand the fear, the ego means well. It's trying to fix it its way.
Yeah,
by separating and fighting.
It's just sort of mindless, you know. It's unconscious, as the great master teacher Eckhart Tolle says. It's just unconscious, you know. Once you become conscious of whatever, you know, the moment of what's going on, the ego dissolves. So.
Right, and so the idea is to be able to surrender to other than our ego, whatever that is. It's an openness that we don't know.
Right. It's only known through the actual experience, going into presence, becoming present, accepting everything as it is, and just opening up to what is right now. And that truly is the doorway to nirvana, to heaven, paradise, to God realization, awakening, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think that one reason people get sick is that they haven't experienced enough love, and getting sick attracts love to them, attracts all these people who care that they didn't realize cared so much.
Yeah, right. There are many, you know, motivations for sickness, hidden ego motivations to use sickness for a purpose. And this is one of the important things in the healing process to go through, is really rooting out what Peter Gabriel, the great singer and songwriter and humanitarian, called digging in the dirt. He wrote a song called that. And you have to get honest with yourself and dig in your own dirt, dig through your darkness. What am I using sickness for potentially? And it's almost always hidden. The patient doesn't know that they have this motivation. And one of those is to get attention, yes. But there are a number of others.
Right. And sometimes it's a wisdom path that, for instance, I'm thinking of this teenager who just became paralyzed and how brilliant he's going to be from all of this.
Yeah. And sometimes it takes, those serious crises in our lives to bring that wisdom about. Before that, we're just walking around unconscious, not realizing who we are, not realizing that life has a purpose,
right.
Just going through the motions of living and trying to survive in the world, blindly, unconsciously. And sometimes it takes those big things to come into our lives and say, wake up.
Right. I have a family member who's an addict, and he's young. He's in his 20s, and he's really working hard to overcome his addiction. And I've talked to him, and that this is the horrible path that he's chosen to become a wise one who will teach many people how to love themselves better. And I told him that, and he said, yeah, I think you're right. I think that's the path I'm on. But it comes from dragging himself through the dirt for a long time to be able to tell other people how not to do that.
Right, how to get through it. And,
yeah.
And there are a lot of examples of that. I know somebody who's been an addict and an alcoholic his whole life, and he's very dysfunctional, but he is in the process of awakening. And, I see him one day as a great healer himself, and in a perfect position to help other addicts because he's been through it. I see that about Jordan, too. He's a young man, but, he's just about to turn 22 here, and he went through this when he was 18. But I see eventually, he probably will be a great healer himself who will be in a position to help others through similar struggles.
Exactly. Well, let's talk about actually how we can do a better job. And you teach meditation, for one thing.
Yeah. Anybody out there, I think everybody should be meditating. Everybody. This world would be quite a different world if everybody was meditating just a little bit. And you don't have to do these long meditations that, traditional meditation teachers once taught. You have to sit for hours a day. No, it's not true. It's really about quality over quantity. But it's also about consistency. So, 3 minutes a day, a couple times a day, really can make a tremendous difference over time. As long as you're really focusing during those 3 minutes as best you can.
Right.
But meditation takes us into a state where we reconnect, even a little bit, not always mm-hmm. fully consciously, but even a little bit for a right. moment with that source of all healing. So it helps to correct things that are already out of order in our lives.
Right, and not all of us are good at it and get discouraged. I've had lifetimes of meditation, and for some reason in this lifetime, it's not a tool for me.
Mm-hmm.
Although I've had some wonderful meditations, it's not a daily or persistent tool that I use. I find that there are other tools for relief, for
mm-hmm.
instance, EFT, emotional freedom technique, and I work with Bach flower remedies that shift consciousness, and they're very relieving. They really remove fear in so many ways. There are more than 30 different Bach flower remedies, each for a different kind of limitation that it they overcome.
I mean, there are many practices and techniques. And I say this, there are so many forms of meditation. A lot of people actually meditate, and they don't even call it that. They don't know that that's, a form of meditation.
Right. Could be
just
contemplation.
Simple relaxation, closing
right.
your eyes, quieting down, putting some distance between you and your thoughts.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really mindfulness.
Right, and that's what it all boils down to. I mean, that is what meditation ultimately is, regardless of the form you're using.
Right. And so it's really amazing that you've been given this journey of not only having these experiences, profound experiences in your life, but being able to write as well as you can to, you know, produce this wonderful journey that I think everybody should pick up and read, The Healing of Jordan Young, and be grateful that you know, we have to go through these experiences in order to help others.
Yeah, absolutely. I certainly, at that moment, I wasn't particularly grateful for having been put in this position. But, you know, then all these words began coming to me, as I think I mentioned. And they were truly incredible and inspiring. And they began with that, you know, with love, all things can be healed, right in the midst of Jordan's crisis. And the next thing that came to me was with hope. With love, hope is always justified. And with love, nothing is impossible. No matter what the doctors tell you or anybody else tells you to the contrary.
Right, and we see a lot of medical practice isn't aware of that. And so it's wonderful to be able to show up in life and speak about love and healing, and I'm sure so many of our listeners will be inspired to do that and want to do that. Otherwise, they wouldn't be listening.
Well, I hope so. And the book is meant for people who are struggling themselves, you know, certainly with any illness. It's meant to be a guide for getting through it, as well as people who just want to remain healthy. You know, these are not teachings that are necessarily meant just for those crises. They're meant for as life tools.
For life, sure. And yeah. How can people find you? Do you have a website?
My website is TobinBlake.com, so it's super simple to remember.
Right, T-O-B-I-N, Blake, B-L-A-K-E.
And books this, available everywhere.
Yeah, The Healing of Jordan Young. Tobin, it's so great to talk with you. This is very inspiring. Your work is terrific. And thank
My
you
pleasure,
so much.
Peter.
Right. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, H-E-A-R-T, river.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening.